It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security.
This is Paul Vallely. This is the National Security Hour on America Out Loud. Today we're going to talk about a very, very serious threat to America. And joining me today is Mary Fanning, who's a expert on the issue of what's happening in our ports. We'll try to explain and define all of the elements that are involved here. We also have Mike Maloof, who has a great background in threat analysis, having worked in the Pentagon for a number of years, and has worked with me in the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation now for some 5 years. Michael also went to Moscow with me, or I went with him, I should say, in 2017, when we were able to talk to a number of people across the world who were there regarding the Middle East, and we were able to set up the first meeting between Putin and President Trump. That was March of 2017. But anyhow, welcome. We're going to talk about ports, Gulf, Tainer. We're going to talk about a Club K system, which many of you may have never heard of. And I know many members of Congress have not heard about that. So, Mary, let me turn it over to you. What's the issue here?
Well, the doors have been opened on this issue, General, which is so important. And that is that our port security is before Congress today. So first and foremost, we need our audience to be calling Congress and keep calling until you burn up those phone lines, because make no mistake, the enemy is inside the wire and Obama and Biden placed them there. Our ports are not secure because Gulf Tainer was placed at Port Canaveral with the cargo container operations. Now this took place after Gulf Tainer.
Mary, what's Gulf Tainer? What does that word mean?
Gulf Tainer?
Yeah.
Well, it probably refers to the cargo containers. And this is a Gulf company. They come out of the UAE. In fact, we found the agreements to hand over our ports, remember, Michael, the Dubai Ports World debacle, and the country stood up and they said, no, we did not want our ports handed over to the UAE. Well, what they did was they came back instead, and they just brought in Gulf Tainer. They also come out of the UAE. The same people were involved. In fact, the Emir of Sharjah, a well-known dark force out of the UAE, and dark on many, many ways, he is a 50% owner of Gulf Tainer. That's a problem. But most important is Gulf Tainer is owned by the brother and business partner of Saddam Hussein's nuclear mastermind, Dr. Jafar Diyajafar. Now, Hamid Diyajafar and Gulf Tainer were awarded a 35-year lease to Port Canaveral, the cargo container operations. This was right after they had gone into a joint venture with Rostec Rosoboron Export, the exporter of the Club K. So someone who was on the Pentagon's blacklist, wanted for capture or kill, they were awarded a 35-year lease to Port Canaveral. They were awarded this while bypassing the CFIUS review. Now, they also bypassed the national security threat analysis. So the Committee on Foreign Investment and the national security threat analysis were bypassed. Why is this important? Well, the man who was a gatekeeper to CFIUS was an ISNA operative. The same day that he put through the Gulf Tainer deal, he put through Hillary Clinton's Uranium One deal, where we then found that our uranium was not going to Canada, it was going to Russia. So what's important about this is that they put the enemy inside the wire. Joe Biden and Barack Obama were intimately involved in these deals. Importantly, Gulf Tainer is in business with China, and multiple companies are they partnered, large companies. Gulf Tainer's also cargo containers, 0.1% of the 10 to 20 million cargo containers that come into this country are hand-checked. Who are they hand-checked by? The Chinese at Hutchison Whampoa. That's very concerning.
Yeah.
So these cargo containers, the Club K, it opens via satellite and it launches biological, nuclear, chemical, EMP weapons. Once inside the wire, we have no ability to shoot it down. One person went onto Fox News and told about the Club K, and that was General Paul Vallely.
Mary, now I understand Gulftainer is a company that's run out of United Arab Emirates. Is that right?
That's correct, but they work very closely with Iran.
Okay. Michael, are you familiar with this issue?
Some aspects of it, General. The container issue is one in which has gone basically unreported in terms of inspections for years. And a lot of stuff can come in through the containers. And China has a lot of ownership on both coasts, the Pacific and the, particularly the Pacific coast and the Atlantic coast in the United States. And maybe a tenth of all containers that come in are ever thoroughly inspected. And the only way you can zero in on any container is if you got some real hard intelligence. And when I was at the Defense Department, and we worked with Customs on this, it was difficult to get them because they move so quickly through the system. And so you're behind the eight ball before you basically get the information. So it's a lot of catch up, and by then the goods are dispersed. Mm-hmm. And so this is this remains a problem, and I think that we have basically sold out to the Chinese in terms of rights to ownership of container areas on our coasts. And then you look at the Panama Canal; they own Hutchison. Owns both ends of the Panama Canal. They not only can monitor what's going through there, but you know, for our submarines to pass from the Atlantic to the Pacific and vice versa, they got to go through there. And you know, unless they go all the way around,
right?
And by then they've picked up intelligence, so it's an intelligence gathering capability as well.
Well, when you go back decades, Mary and Mike, under Carter. We turned over the Panama Canal that we controlled.
That's correct.
Inception when it was built back in the late 1930s. Then they were looking for someone to manage. The Panamanians were looking for someone then to manage the canal. That's when they brought in that Chinese company, right?
That's correct.
And so that Chinese company, I think, is still there running the Panama Canal, if I'm not mistaken.
On both ends.
Yeah.
On both ends. Yeah.
So they monitor all the transits going from the Atlantic to the Pacific and the Pacific going back to the Atlantic again.
And any of our warships that may go through there.
Right. Mary, when you examine these containers, which we see every day if we're out driving on our own highways on these 18-wheelers, but they also can be placed inside of a hold of a ship, as I understand it, and moved across the oceans. Mary, can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, General, they do not even have to be put in, you know, inside the wire in the United States. They can launch on from outside of our ports as well, but they can take out a cargo carrier, they can take out our Navy in short order. And why that becomes even more disturbing is because we translated a Russian defense journal, and they talk about Pearl Harbor 2.0 and taking us out in our ports. That's important because everything that's taken place in Ukraine and Russia right now did not have to take place. That's really Joe Biden with Barack Obama. They did not have to, you know, get on Russia's border and say that Ukraine was being brought into NATO. We'd had multi-year agreements that was not to happen. So why break that agreement? Why start that kerfuffle.
Well, there's probably
this war with Russia.
There's probably payoffs, for that. But Mary, when you look at the ports along the west coast of the United States, you look at Los Angeles, which I think is the largest. You've got San Francisco, you've got Seattle, and then you have Vancouver, British Columbia. So you have four major ports that are transiting goods and supplies in these containers coming from China. And once they get here, let me give you an example. If you Google Club K, you'll see all the different components of the Club K system. And I remember when Russia sold that to the Iranians. Now, Michael, in the last couple of years, Iranian ships have actually gone out of the Mediterranean as they pass through the Red Sea and gone into the Atlantic. So they've been testing the waters, Iranian ships, for a couple of years now. But if you take an Iranian ship that moves, as Mary explained, 50 kilometers off of Manhattan, okay, that freighter opens up the hold, that container rises up and fires a Shahab 3 missile, for example, with a nuclear capability, or EMP, electronic magnetic pulse technology, over Manhattan. But they could do it over Washington, Miami, wherever they want to go. Mary, am I phrasing that correctly, that capability?
General, that and more, because it's not just EMPs, it's also biological, chemical, nuclear weapons. And should an EMP, Michael is well-versed in EMP. We worked with Dr. Peter Pry. In fact, right, we tried to stop this deal from going through. Dr. Pry was working with me. That's really important because Dr. Pry understood the threat that we were looking at. And if an EMP hits this country, you would have 90% of the people dead within 1 year. Mm-hmm. And if you're putting that in the context of unrestricted warfare and the Chinese, that is exactly what they want. That is what they've told us they want in unrestricted warfare.
You know, Michael, everybody on the air, I don't care what news media, they're always talking about the future. Iran will have a nuclear weapon. We've known for years they already have nuclear capability. They have the Shahab launch system. They have the guidance system. They've done all the nuclear-tipped warheads, as they've always had teams with North Korea and China when they've set off a nuclear blast. And so they have all that. I firmly believe from the intelligence I receive, they already have a nuclear capability. It's just a matter of when they want to use it against Israel or the United States. Does that make
sense? They have what we would refer to as they've established nuclear threshold in which they have all the components ready to be put together, but they want to give some semblance of remaining within international compliance.
Yeah.
So they have it all on standby if they ever need it. Their missiles, for example, are nuclear capable. It would take them maybe about 6 weeks to put together a nuclear weapon.
Could you just screw the components together and launch it?
Yeah, but the question remains, have they achieved the technological level of miniaturization to put on a missile? And I think even the intelligence community is not in unity on that question. They have the ability to enrich up to 90%. They did it by accident, quote unquote, recently, but that showed that they could do it with the centrifuges that they now have, and so there is obviously no going back to the old JCPOA nuclear agreement. Refined uranium? No one's going to take it. Russians won't take it anymore.
Yeah. Well,
Michael, if you remember,
they're good at camouflaging and covering their motivations, I should say, over there. But that's why, I mean, I talked to our lead guy for, I'm trying to think of the name, Cyrus Force, Iran. That's an American-led organization headed up by a very good friend of mine. going back to the time of Cyrus in Iran, Iranian history. But from inside Iran, he says they already have the capability. They just don't want to release it for the reasons you stated there.
General, there's another piece of information. If you remember, Benjamin Netanyahu went on air. He was very disturbed, showing the plants that they'd found in an Iranian warehouse with the miniaturized nuclear weapon that Dr. Jafar Dia Jafar, whose brother and business partner has the port leases to Port Canaveral and had to Port of Wilmington. And Netanyahu exposed the miniaturized nuclear weapon beach ball. I am told that they removed 17 of those from Baghdad, beyond which Dennis Montgomery, the CIA whistleblower, told that into Port Canaveral on three occasions, James Comey was advised that strontium-90 and cesium were coming into our ports.
Well, you know, I go back. I mean, our international intelligence capability anymore is so poor. Michael, you remember, it goes back to Frank Church and the admiral who was in charge of the CIA when they did, they took away basically our human intelligence capability. We used to have agents all over the world report back. Well, they pulled those agents in and they went to a high tech a type of intelligence gathering using satellites and everything else. And our human intelligence network basically collapsed and did not exist except for a very few that we had out there. I think that's why, what we're presenting today, Michael, is so important, because I don't have confidence in our international CIA capability anymore.
Well, the problem remains, General, that our intelligence agencies do not talk to domestic intelligence, namely the FBI counterintelligence people. They do somewhat ever since 9/11, but before 9/11, they didn't talk at all. And they do somewhat, but they're going to guard their assets, their own assets, and reporting, because that's what they want to protect. They don't want their sources and their methods to be exposed, or their sources to be called before a judge and prosecuted. So consequently, the foreign intelligence and the domestic intelligence have a hard time coming together. I believe very strongly, and I worked with former Congressman Kurt Weldon, who was then House Armed Services Committee Chairman, on developing a national fusion center. And boy, did we ever get the opposition from the intelligence community. Oh, that's their rice bowl. That was their rice bowl.
Oh, yeah.
And if we had that information of the international side with the domestic side, we may have been able to prevent 9/11. But
there you go. Well, listen, we'll pick up on that. We're going to go to a two-minute break here, and we'll be right back with Michael Maloof and Mary Fanning and Paul Vallely, and we're going to further discuss this Club K system, Gulf Tainter, our ports. Please stay with us. This is the National Security Hour on America Out Loud. Stay with us.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
These days, every time you turn on the news, it seems like there's a new threat to your health. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top and shoot it down, or mix it in water. Boost your immunity. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Vallely, Major General, U.S. Army, retired, joined with Michael Maloof, former Department of Defense official, and Mary Fanning, the American Report. This is the National Security Hour on America Out Loud. And so go to that AmericaOutLoud.com. You'll be able to hear this interview today on a very important subject, Gulftainer, the club case system. And basically, as Mary Fanning said, within the wire, meaning that capability to attack America from within is very much alive. Mary, do you want to pick it up from here?
Yes, General, thank you. Part of what we're looking at is our agencies have now started working outside of the government and not for our government. We're seeing espionage, we're seeing sabotage. This is a tectonic shift. And the problem is that it appears that they are working for the New World Order. They're dismantling the United States. They want to take away our freedom. Part of that is taking away our ports. That is incredibly dangerous. You didn't have to go to a military academy, General, like you, to understand Sun Tzu. You know, make them believe you are far when you are near. Well, that was never more true than bringing the enemy inside the wire with Dr. Jafar Diafar. Who these people are is incredibly important that they've handed over our ports. That's not just looking at whether this is an EMP or nuclear. It's also that the ability to close down any trade coming into our ports. We have outsourced way too much to China. So consider no medicines if China decides to cut us off. We need to be rebuilding and bringing back into the United States our own means of production on many things. And that includes everything that Joe Biden has done. None of it, not one thing, has been to the benefit of this country. Joe Biden unto himself is the tectonic shift. He is destroying this country, taking away our freedoms, signing on to the WHO. They have no business destroying our constitutional rights via some pandemic that they've created. The same thing goes to the ports. If we don't control our own country, then we no longer have a country. So open borders where Chinese armies are coming through, the idea that we have Mitch McConnell and his wife, who works closely with the CCP, and her sister that just died in this past week, was on the board of BHR, same as Hunter Biden, paying with the Chinese, also the Bank of China, and also the Foremost Group, which was creating the nuclear submarines for China. In what world does this make any sense when we're looking toward our own national security? It does not. And understand, if you want to have the big picture, all these things are variables. But the big picture goes back to that Fabian window. And when they told us they were going to light the world on fire, light the globe on fire to mold it to your heart's content, that is exactly what we are looking at. Everything is being dismantled in the United States, and it's toward the world order.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we cover that in our books, Invisible Treason in America, which is out on Amazon, and our new book, Beyond Treason, The Aftermath of Destruction that has been caused by treasonous individuals within the United States and organizations which foster and support these treasonous activities. And that book will be out in a couple of weeks. But Michael, don't we have American port management companies that could take these contracts? Why do we have to outsource it?
Well, because it's because they probably come in, they probably underbid for one thing. And, you know, I remember in a recent movie when they were shooting a rocket up in the, and the astronauts were saying, you know, how do you feel about sitting on a rocket that went to the lowest bidder, you know? So that's a problem. But at the same time, in terms of the management and keeping an eye on what comes in, it's only as good as the intelligence we receive, and the accuracy of the reporting by the companies themselves.
Mm-hmm.
No, they could easily slip stuff in. They could bring in a rocket launcher inside of a container, and rather easily, in fact.
Yeah.
And in fact, I know of one instance in which I was asked to be involved, but I turned it down, and that was to work on an operation to try to sneak in just to see stuff from overseas, some plutonium, just to see how easy it was to end run the customs people, and the folks that wanted to do that opted not to do it ultimately because I threatened to report them.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and to further explain this to our audience and to the Americans out there to connect the dots. Okay, a ship comes from China, okay, crosses the Pacific, goes into Los Angeles. And I think everybody has seen the videos of the Los Angeles port facilities. They're massive. And so that container ship offloads hundreds of containers each and every day. Okay, they're filled with goods from China. Of course, when you order off of Amazon, almost everything you get seems to be made in China, if that's one good example that comes across in these containers. But Mary, they then can load them onto 18-wheelers and go to distribution centers throughout the United States. But also, they could be sidetracked to go near a U.S. military facility or be within the zone of an urban area like New York or Miami or St. Louis or whatever. But they can be put on railroad cars. I mean, if we go by any of our railroad passageways across the country, we have the northern route just north of me here that goes across the United States into Seattle. But they can load the containers on there and drop them off at any city along the way. Am I reading this right, Mary?
General, you are spot on. And to our audience, I say the next time you watch a freight train pass by a railroad crossing or hear the mournful horns of the trains passing in the night or the railroad crossing bells as flatbed double-deck train cars go by, I want you to remember that Barack Obama and Joe Biden brought the enemy inside the wire, knowing that they had just gone into a joint venture to export the Club K. This danger was brought to us by Joe Biden and Barack Obama. And don't forget what we don't know is crawling all over this country.
Well,
because when we put this information out, General,
I'll
just finish one thing.
Go ahead.
The when we put this information out, the Center for Security Policy held intelligence summits to try to stop this. Intel experts from all over were coming to this to stop the Club K and the Gulftainer. What happened? Nothing. It's going to take the American people.
Nothing. But Michael, I mean, look who's coming across the border. We have over 25,000 Chinese that have crossed the border.
Well,
that we know about.
They're all throughout the United States, and you can't tell me their families or their ones just want to seek asylum. These teams,
so the Chinese know everybody who leaves. And when you look at them, they're very well dressed. They right. fly over and fly into Mexico,
yeah.
and then they trek on up. And when you look at how they're dressed, they're all young, mostly men, some women, but you don't know where they're going to be going. So it's interesting that it's occurring particularly with the Chinese at this time, because now we're seeing a few thousand all of a sudden that have shown up in the first 3 years of Biden's administration. All of a sudden, we get this rash of Chinese. I think the Chinese realize that the gates are going to be closing, and so they want to get in while they still have Biden in office yeah. because of the deals they have with him. Because I think there are going to be some monumental changes if Trump is elected again. So, so now's the time that they're striking. Plus, we're getting all these terrorists coming in. I think they've had more than 100 hits on terrorists on the lists.
Terrorist watch list people, yeah.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. And these are people we know of coming in. What about the getaways? And the ones we don't know of? I mean, that's close to a million or so already. So these are also sleepers. Yeah. In the intelligence world, those are what we would refer to as sleepers.
Yeah.
And they will be on call when the bell goes off.
Well, you mentioned flying in. I don't think a lot of people realize that. But one of the correspondents for Fox News interviewed some of the Chinese that were crossing in the Jacumba area in San Diego. And so they asked him, how did you get here? He said they flew into Tijuana, Tijuana across the board from San Diego, and he just walked across. Now, the other thing I read, and I can't remember them all, but there's like four different countries or four different ways they can get visas. And so those visas are paid for and cleared, and they can bypass and go through our customs. That's how sophisticated this is.
Well, they're opting to come on over the border, but here's the problem. The Chinese, like the Venezuelans, refuse to take back their nationals.
Oh, yeah.
So we're stuck with them. What do we do? Yeah. My theory is, what, since we have a one China policy, let's send them all to Taiwan.
Yeah.
Let the Taiwanese deal with them.
Taiwanese would say, hey, we don't want you.
No, just fly them in. They're yours.
Mary?
Michael, we found that the Venezuelan ambassador to Iraq, the entire time that he was over there, was handing out across the Middle East falsified identification passports, etc. We are finding that all over the border and the Darien Gap, as people are coming in, those falsified documents as they come into our country. This has been planned for some time.
Yeah. Have you heard any of our government officials talk about this at all and connect the dots like we're doing today? I can't think of one congressman or senator or a member of our Defense Department or our intelligence services or whatever discuss this as we're doing today.
Nope.
That tells
not one.
Anyhow, we're going to go to a quick break. We'll be back for our last 20-minute segment. This is the National Security Hour on America Out Loud, AmericaOutLoud.com. Stay with us. We're going to have an exciting wrap-up here today.
Well, the year 2024 is upon us, and it is our chance to get it right and take back a free America. AmericaOutLoud.news is your source for uncensored and factual news that facilitates truth and unity among all Americans to restore that American dream we have always cherished. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. You've heard Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company discuss the harmful effects of spike protein in your body, and now they've found the solution: the miracle enzyme nattokinase. Their spike support formula contains nattokinase, the most compelling and scientifically supported approach to safely clear spike protein out of the body. What's more, spike support is optimized with other all-natural, non-GMO ingredients, like dandelion root, to help prevent spike protein from binding to your cells. Everyone should take daily spike support so you can feel your best. America Out Loud listeners can go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Clean, pure, with premium ingredients, Global Healing's Pure Plant Protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's a perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with Pure Plant Protein. Go to AmericaOutLoud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
Hello, America. This is Del Wilbur inviting you to take a 2-minute stroll through history on America Out Loud. May 25th, 1861, John Merryman, a state legislator from Maryland, is arrested for attempting to hinder Union troops from moving from Baltimore to Washington during the Civil War and is held at Fort McHenry by Union military officials. His attorney immediately sought a writ of habeas corpus so that a federal court could examine the charges. However, President Abraham Lincoln decided to suspend the right of habeas corpus, and the general in command of Fort McHenry refused to return Merryman over to authorities. Federal Judge Roger Taney, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and also the author of the infamous Dred Scott decision, issued a ruling that President Lincoln did not have the authority to suspend habeas corpus. Lincoln didn't respond, appeal, or order the release of Merryman. But during a July 4th speech, Lincoln was defiant, insisting that he needed to suspend the rules in order to put down the rebellion in the South. 5 years later, a new Supreme Court essentially backed Justice Taney's ruling. In an unrelated case, the court held that only Congress could suspend habeas corpus and that civilians were not subject to military courts, even in times of war. This was not the first or last time that the U.S. federal government willfully ignored its own laws during times of strife. Hundreds of thousands of Japanese Americans were sent to internment camps following the attack on Pearl Harbor and America's entry into World War II. Some 40 years later, a U.S. congressional commission determined that those held in the camps had been victims of discrimination. Each camp survivor was awarded $20,000 in compensation from the U.S. government. This is Del Wilbur, inviting you to join me again as we celebrate history on America Out Loud.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour and America Out Loud, AmericaOutLoud.com. Please tune in and pass the link on to other Americans that need to hear the subject issue of today, which has been our ports, Gulf Tainer company that's been managing these ports on a contract that's not with American port management companies. And we've talked about the threats of the Club K system, which is a container system that goes on 18-wheelers or on our freight trains. But I think we should concentrate on the next 9 to 10 months and where we're at, the threats that we're facing right now, and the lack of clarity of our military not protecting us the way they're supposed to, not protecting our borders. They should be taking out the cartels who are a militarized force. We just can't depend on the Border Patrol to do it. So Trump needs to know about this. And I understand Project 2025 is putting together a plan for Trump when he takes over that will basically restructure the executive branch agencies like the CIA, FBI, Department of Justice, Defense Department. So, Mary, what do you think? What are our threats here in the next 9 months before the election?
Well, I'm particularly concerned about, they keep talking about the next pandemic. And I think that people should be considering what happened with the last pandemic. We knew that Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin had the DMED data. He knew that myocarditis, HIV, pulmonary embolisms, all of that was going to happen. And yet he had all of our military vaccinated. Mm. How many of the military were kicked out because they refused that vaccine?
Thousands.
But he was hiding the DMED data and they were covering it up. They wanted to for 75 years. Then they did it for 55. They didn't want people to know the damage that this would do. Now, think about if you were going to destroy a country. What's the first thing you would do? You would damage the military, mm-hmm. the men and women that protect this country. And that goes right to Lloyd Austin and to the Democrat communists that are running this country right now into the ground. You have to consider, too, if we're facing a two-front war, that they've turned off the spigots in this country, that they've given our strategic petroleum reserve to China. In what world does any of this make sense? This is chaos and confusion with purpose. Everything that's taking place.
No sane world would do that. They think we're all crazy. Of course, we have weak leadership. Michael, is the Pentagon, Department of Defense, capable today of defending the American people from the invasion, from Club K, from all of these other threats we have going on now? Our grid system is in jeopardy. The Chinese know how to use cyber terrorism against that. So, well, how do you look at these next 9 to 10 months?
Well, I see that they're chaotic, they're undisciplined, and the lack of leadership. All along, Lloyd Austin has always been overseeing our departure from things like he did in Iraq in 2011. And that helped create ISIS. Now he Then he gets sick, and then he doesn't report to his own commander in chief. This is unbelievable, but it's symptomatic of the lack of leadership within the Department of Defense today. No, they're not equipped for it. There's not a strong national security imperative emanating from this administration whatsoever, and I'm talking about on the enforcement as well as on the military front. They've got to be working in unison, working together, both on the international and the domestic side. And we're not seeing that. I think that what we will need is a national fusion center with Trump, if Trump comes back in, that will allow both of our intelligence and our domestic enforcement, federal enforcement agencies to reside in one location to share their information, their intelligence, and through that fusion center, you get for the policymaker as well as the commanders the information of where the choke points are, not only in your own country but throughout the world. And this is something that can be done. I know the Army has been doing it for years, and we first saw it when we were hitting Kosovo and all of those areas. And we knew where all the telecommunications lines were. And in doing that, we could figure out where the choke points were to cut off the rest of it. And this brought the war to a roaring halt. So this is the kind of information sharing that needs to be done. But you don't have a concerted effort by these wokies, as I call them, that want to do that. They just live in their own little bubble. But the threats are out there against us. But we've also got to stop trying to create threats against us. And we can lessen that by getting involved in every war that we see. There isn't a war we don't like right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's all these unnecessary wars, as we call them, since World War II.
And expensive.
Expensive, draining our treasury, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, from Vietnam up through Iraq to Afghanistan. But this plan that the Stand Up America U.S. Foundation is working on is the Defense Department part of this Project 2025. And basically, we're coming up with a couple different models, Michael and Mary. One of the models is that we repurpose the Defense Department. We remodeled it because the image is so bad now in the American people. They don't want to have their sons and daughters going into the military. That's why re-enlistments are down, recruiting is down. And so what we're advocating is one model, Michael, that the Defense Department is no longer called the Defense Department. It's called the Department of the Armed Forces of America. Go ahead, Michael. You got a point you want to make.
Yeah, in parallel with that, And Mary mentioned it very briefly, was the EMP threat. When we did our fusion center concept, it was to reside at the National Security Council, and the Department of Defense would be its executive agency to carry it out. I think that along with that, we need somebody that will be able to monitor the whole EMP threat at the national security level to coordinate federal, state, and local efforts to harden the grids. I mean, this is why I'm saying we need both an international and a local and a domestic effort, unified effort that combines both elements and work on this, because if our grid is attacked, we got to be able to deal with it. Look, 90% of U.S. bases in the United States right now rely on local grid systems in the United States. If they're knocked out, that affects all of our bases and our readiness.
Yes.
Nobody thinks about that.
Yeah.
That's why we need a coordinated effort at the National Security Council level to make sure this happens. And it's got to be a priority given by this next administration.
Yep, absolutely. Mary, go ahead.
General, there are several states that have secured their grid, very few, but it's not that expensive. There should be a team in every state that is taking up this this issue and making efforts on our behalf. There, so that's one thing.
Mary,
the other thing is,
Mary,
ahead, that,
Mary, that's why I suggested having a coordinator at the National Security Council who can coordinate the federal, state, and local effort in that direction. That's what's really important. And I
Michael,
think that this.
I nominate you to do that with this coming Trump administration.
There you go.
You have to have people who know what they're doing, not just a show team.
Exactly right.
We need true experts.
Mary, there's also part of one of the models we're working on is to bring back 4 to 6 retired generals who have battle experience and strategic thought processing, cognitive thinking about this, about the threats. But we don't seem to have that today. There's not a trust in the generals and admirals that have a strategic vision of what to do, like the Pattons, the Eisenhowers, the MacArthurs. And so that's one proposal. But the other, Michael, is do away with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Okay.
Well, I don't know
what
they're
doing now. Because we don't need staffs other than under commanders. So the whole one model is command driven. You do away with half of the politicians at the Pentagon. You don't need these duplicate staffs of civilians and of the military working on the same different issues. You know what I mean? And
so
you restructure this whole model, it's going to be streamlined. We're in over 50 countries right now, our military, for some reason. You know, we need to bring all of those back, put them into command-driven and support-driven organizations. So it's going to be an exciting model that we're developing here. And we
we're
know
going to
that
have
we can't be solved within the Pentagon.
A vision of rice bowls, General.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's why, Michael, you can't do it internally in the Pentagon or the CIA or the FBI.
Yep.
It takes external force and planning to make them change. Because they, like you say, getting into all these rice bowls, and the deep state people don't like that.
So. No, not at all. Not at all. Well, it's going to take that kind of a peaceful revolution, if you will, to change all of this. But it's going to be tremendous resistance, I can say.
It's got to be done, though. It's got to be done.
It's got to be done. It's got to be done.
Strong leaders
General,
do it.
You also have to look at some of these companies that are not working on the America's behalf, that they've turned their back. You look at BlackRock, what they're doing. You look at Jamie Dimon, you know, so Larry Fink and BlackRock. You look at Jamie Dimon taking his banking into China. I'm sorry, but if these people have no loyalty to this country, the American people should not be doing business with them. That is, you walk away from those who don't support this country and freedom.
Trump will call them to the White House. He will sit them down and say, this is the way it's going to be.
Yep.
And if they don't comply, then their business interests will be bypassed. It's that simple. You basically...
Well, they should be.
Yeah, you just basically use the bully pulpit, but in private, with those guys.
Well, and that goes exactly, Michael, to Silicon Valley. And that's what Hillary signed that agreement with Medvedev. And she said, here you go. And they moved Silicon Valley to Skolkovo. That should never have happened.
I agree.
We should never have outsourced Silicon Valley to outside of Moscow. And that goes directly to Hillary Clinton. And you have to ask, who do these people work for? Because it is not the United States of America.
Well, Hillary was looking out for Hillary and her little foundation. So it'll be interesting to know what she gained from that sale, even as a Secretary of State at the time.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mary and Michael, we've come to the end of the show here, our 1 hour show. This is being recorded, and it will be online at AmericaOutloud.com. But I want to thank you, Mary, and I want to thank you, Michael. Any very short closing comments before we end the session today?
Well, I would just say that we have great challenges ahead of us, and we need to be very alert and very ready to go.
Ready to go. Ready to face.
Ready to go.
Yep. Mary?
And there's leaders in this country that should be supported. And I suggest that the American people stand up America U.S., follow General Valley's association and his foundation, and get behind it. It is time to stand up America.
Thank you, Mary. That's great. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you next time. Bye-bye.